Sunday the 20th of May 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, What's Our Part? Sermon title, Flow, Spirit, Flow. Bible reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Roger Whip.
The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much to drink." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, on this special day, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will enable me to open up your word, and we will perhaps learn a bit more about your love and your willingness to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. A family driving a large camper van pulled up in front of a church, just as the vicar was leaving to go home. Designed to be friendly, the vicar introduced himself and he expressed his admiration for the camper van. The man of the family told him rather proudly, "Oh, this camper sleeps 8 people." And then he asked, "Oh, what's the capacity of your church, vicar?" And the beleaguered vicar answered rather glumly, "Oh, it sleeps about 80. Here in today's reading, we have an account of, we call in the Christian church, the day of Pentecost. The day when all heaven breaks loose, waking up the disciples as God pours out his spirit onto his church. However, on this specific day, Pentecost was already a well-established Jewish festival. It meant 50th and was a celebration of the grain harvest. Pentecost happened on the 50th day after Passover, when 7 weeks worth of harvest had all been gathered in. And Passover, you may remember, was the festival to celebrate the passing over of the angel of death when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. Now, Pentecost was also the occasion of the anniversary of the law being given on Mount Sinai. Now, the significance of all this may be lost on us, but it certainly wasn't to the first early Christians. The Old Covenant had been characterized by the operation of the laws and rituals. Now, the New Covenant would be characterized by the operation of the Holy Spirit. With God's impeccable timing, the new era is ushered in on the anniversary of the old as they met together. Luke describes what happened next as best he can, considering the incredible event that he was witnessing. A noise like a tornado blowing through a room, a roaring fire that appeared from nowhere, that separated into individual flames on 120 heads, followed by the expression of lots of different languages. A scene of godly disorder and holy disarray. At this time, Jerusalem would have been packed for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. They were obviously outside in the street when they heard this commotion amongst the disciples. Certainly a large crowd gathered. Even when faced with this amazing miracle, some of the crowd thought the whole affair owed its origin to a totally different kind of spirit, the type that normally comes out of a bottle. Pentecost is the birthday of the Christian church. The start of the ministry of Jesus was affirmed by the Spirit. You may remember it came down like a dove. So it's appropriate that the start of the church to be affirmed by the same Holy Spirit. One thing we can be sure about was the coming of the Holy Spirit in such a dramatic way certainly got the people's attention. And Peter is not slow to seize the opportunity to speak to the crowd, trying to explain what had just happened. Now notice a transformation in Peter from the man who had denied Christ three times as a cock crowed and hid away in fear after the death of Jesus. But now he was there shouting out amongst the same people the good news that Jesus had kept his promise and sent his Holy Spirit to help all mankind. You know, that reassures me that even if, or should I say when, I mess up, God doesn't give up on me. He's willing to give further chances. Peter emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, although some amongst the crowd would know that he wasn't an ordinary man, having witnessed recently such things as the feeding of the 5,000 and the raising of Lazarus from the dead and many other miracles. Quite unordinary events. Peter also puts an emphasis on the importance of the resurrection and how it fulfilled the prophecies of old and how Jesus was on the same level as God himself. All the honour, adoration and the worship they had reserved for God alone was now also due to the poor carpenter from Nazareth, the very Messiah who they'd been waiting for, the one who had saved them from death and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. You know, what a sermon Peter gave. Now, I'd be delighted if one person comes close to the Lord after one of my sermons. Probably not much hope of that, but there you go. But here, many were moved. Now, we're told that they were cut to the heart as they realized that they had been influential in the death of Jesus. Peter immediately offered two steps to a solution. Repentance, a complete change of mind, turning around and going in the opposite direction, and baptism, acknowledging that Jesus really is God's anointed one. When they do these two things, their evil would be forgiven, and they too will receive the blessing of this new era that had come in, the Holy Spirit. Now immediately, 3,000 people responded to this offer and they joined up as believers. And this led to a rapid introduction of discipleship courses which cover such fundamental subjects as Christian doctrine, fellowship, communion, and prayer. And the chapter then concludes with a description of life in the early original church. Now, sadly, people have allowed it to alter so much that when churches try to conform to the original concept, there's opposition. And such statements as, we don't things like that in here, or these people show no respect in church, you know, or we don't like the happy clappy, just to name a few things that are often spoken out. I tell you, when we meet face to face with God, many Christians will have some explaining to do. I think it's embarrassing sometimes how little the modern church resembles the church that of that first Pentecost. The sound of a tornado, tongues of fire, disciples speaking in different languages, thousands been added to the church, and there was loads of excitement. Excitement everywhere. Nobody could fall asleep in that church. Jesus himself always referred to the Holy Spirit as a person, not as it, as some of us tend to do. In John's Gospel, for instance, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as he, because he is not a force or a thing, but a person, a part of the Trinity. We see from the Bible that the Holy Spirit has intellect, emotion and will. In addition to this, the Bible also describes to him the acts that we would expect from someone who's not just a force, but a real person. These are some quotes from the Bible. He speaks, he intercedes, he testifies, he leads, he commands, he guides, he appoints. He can be lied to, he can be insulted, he can be blasphemed, he can be grieved. Now each of these emotions are acts of character and characteristics of a person. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, like gravity or magnetism. He is a person with all the attributes of personality. But not only is he a person, but he's divine as well. He's part of the Trinity. He is God. He's also a person with great power, and someone willing to share that power with us through us. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said this, you will receive, note here, not you may or you might possibly receive, but he says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And some quotes from St. Paul in Romans 15, 17 to 19. Therefore I glorify in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except that Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply by words but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with a deep conviction. Now, I'm sorry for all those readings. I hope nobody has actually fallen asleep. I'll have a quick look round just in case. I also hope that you know, if you didn't realise it before, that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person of power, a powerful person. I ask the question, are we a powerful person, a person with power? Now, regardless of our age, our ability or disability, both physical and mental, God, through his love, mercy and the cross, has provided a way for us all, every single one of us, to be powerful people. People filled with both the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Just as in our reading, when what happened to be the tongues of fire, they separated, didn't they? And it came to rest on each one of them. Nobody was missed out. And so neither does God want any of us to miss out on the blessing and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you realise that last year over 300,000 people put the wrong fuel in their vehicle. I won't embarrass anyone and ask if you've done it yourself. And that includes over 300 police vehicles. Now, to put diesel into a petrol engine and vice versa can lead to dire and expensive consequences. Sometimes it will cost you thousands of pounds for a new engine. And believe it or not, some insurance companies won't pay up either. And even if you realise your mistake straight away before driving off, it will cost you over £100 to get a recovery vehicle to come, pump out the fuel and get the right fuel in your vehicle to get you moving again. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus says, "If then, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to all your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And then he goes on to explain, "If I fail to be filled with the Spirit, remember that it's not because of God's reluctance. The fault is entirely on my side." See, just as we can't blame the petrol pump, apart from the very, very odd occasions where perhaps the tanker driver gets it wrong, and in fact it happened, as I was writing this talk last Thursday, on the M4 it happened, but it's very rare that it's due to the petrol station. You know, it's us that make a mistake using the wrong fuel. We must understand that God commands us to be filled with the right fuel, the right spirit. That means it is in his will for you and me to be filled. And to refuse to be filled with the right spirit is to act contrary to the will of God. Many Christians are still reluctant to allow the Holy Spirit to take full control. They wrongly fear being turned into sort of happy, clappy weirdos. The good news is that we're not cloned or made as robots by God. Each one of us will act differently. Some will express their joy and excitement in a more charismatic way as God moves in their lives. Others, probably like most people here, will be more reflective in their attitude, in their worship. I've just returned from a Christian golf break that I go to every year, and there I witnessed the demeanour of two professional golf coaches, and both Christians. They had such a nice, mild, peaceful, humble presence, in that I know that both of them are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they call on his power as they minister both on the golf break and in their own churches. An ancient custom of the natives of New Guinea was at certain times they would have rituals, songs and dances. They worked themselves up into a frenzy, and the ritual culminates in what they called the murder songs, in which they shout before God the names of people they wished to kill. Now, when the natives became Christians through the power of the Holy Spirit, they retained these customs and that ritual. However, in the murder songs, they no longer shouted the names of the people they hated, but the names of the sins that they hated, and they called on God to destroy them. A pagan custom had been captured for Christ, and now it was in line with God's will and purpose. You see, power can be used in two ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. The energy in 10 gallons of petrol, for instance, can be released explosively by dropping a lighted match into the can. Or it can be channeled through the engine of a car in a controlled burn and used to transport a vehicle about 350 miles on average. Explosions are spectacular, but controlled burns have a lasting effect, staying power. And the Holy Spirit works in both ways. At Pentecost, he exploded onto the scene. His presence was like tongues of fire. Thousands were affected by that one burst of God's power. But see, it also works through the church. the institution that God began to tap the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul, through worship, for our fellowship, for our service. Christians are provided with staying power if they allow the Holy Spirit to anoint them. As we move on, let us realise that the Spirit doesn't always take us along the beautiful scenic route. Sometimes we're taken through the fog and the valleys of suffering, opposition and struggle. But let us draw comfort from the fact that the cross of Calvary was as much a sign of power as was Pentecost. If we are truly filled with and being led by the Holy Spirit, we will never take our eyes off the cross. The Holy Spirit and all its power exists for us to give glory to the Son. However, let us also remember that the cross was not the end, but the beginning. A missionary visiting a cannibal tribe asked the chief, "Do you people know anything about religion?" "Well, yes," said the chief with a gleam in his eye. "We got a little taste of it when the last missionary was here." The Holy Spirit, like the wind, is forever moving around in all directions. Let us not be afraid to move with him, even if those around us don't understand, like the people we're now reading. Or they think that we're crazy. You know, at least they probably won't want to eat you. Let's pray. Father God, may we be ever mindful and grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Today, as we come before your altar and we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we too be open to receive more power, more anointing of your Holy Spirit, to bring us into a more meaningful and useful Christian life, so that we can walk fully in obedience and in line with your will and purpose, so we can be a better disciple for you. Amen.